Good morning. Morning to you again. My name is Sam McLaughlin, and I'm one of the pastors here at Bellmead, and we're so glad that you're here to worship with us in person and online. If you are a guest with us in person and I haven't met you, I would love the chance to get to know you after the service in the narthex. But I also want to tell you all something, since this is our series, All the Good, about something good that happened just a couple of weeks ago. Within the span of 1 week, it was around the Worship Without Walls week, the Sunday after Easter, I met three different people who have been worshiping online with us. One is from Lincoln, Nebraska, so good morning in Nebraska. One is from Memphis, Tennessee. She grew up in this church and wasn't able to stay connected to us until we were online, and now she's still a part of Bellmead. The third is a woman who's just lives down the street. She's actually here today, so I won't point her out to you. But her first Sunday here was Worship Without Walls Sunday. And so what I want to say is that if you're close by, we would love for you to come be in person, because we know being in person feels a little bit different than being behind the screen. But if you are someone who's on the screen every morning, every week, you are Bellmead. You are a part of this church. We are your family and your church. And if you want to make that official, if you want to become a member of Bellmead, no matter where you are, we would love to hear from you. On our live stream this morning, our new pastoral intern, Rachel Jorsdad, is commenting and saying hello. So let her know who you are. And anyone else watching today, say hello and let us know what prayer requests you have, your joys and concerns that we can lift up here as a church. Today we are continuing this sermon series for May called All the Good, and partly this originated from this quote that's believed to be said by John Wesley. He may have actually not said it, but his theology was sort of summed up in this way. John Wesley was the founder of this Methodist movement. He said, "Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can," and this part's important, "as long as ever you can." Pastor Steve got us started on May 1st as he talked about what it looks like to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And his founding premise was that God alone is good. We here on earth are reflecting the goodness of God. If it's good, then it's God. It reminded me of that old call and response. Maybe you know it. I'm going to take a chance here. God is good?
All the time?
Yes, good. Last week, our children led us with visuals and word and song. And here are some of the things that I heard them say. God made all things good. We as humans are created in the image of God, and so we are good. We begin in a place of goodness. Practically, that means that we should all treat one another with respect. We should accept people for who they are. We should treat people in the ways we would like to be treated. And actually, that's part of what Paul is saying in his message today for the churches in Galatia. Now, we didn't look at verses above verses 9 and 10, but in our Bibles, most Bibles, the section is called Doing Good to All. And Paul talks about what it means to be a church and be accountable to one another and uphold one another. Then he says, right before our verses for today, he says that you reap what you sow. How many people have heard that in their life, maybe from their parents or their teachers? You reap what you sow. And he said, whoever sows to please their flesh will reap destruction. Now, it's important to understand that when Paul says flesh, sometimes we misinterpret that as he means things that have to do with sexuality or the human body. Flesh really means things that are self-pleasing or self-gratifying. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. So listen, do not grow weary in doing good, for at a proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to people who belong to the family of believers. Yesterday in our family, I took my son Lewis to the swimming pool. Lewis is almost 4 years old, and this was exciting and monumental because we just moved into a new home last November. So we had never been to this swimming pool before. We never even had a swimming pool until this moment. And so for me, someone who grew up going to the pool every single day, who swam on the swim team, who was a lifeguard, this was like a moment for me and Lewis. I took him out to the porch with his shark bathing suit on and doused him with that sunscreen as he complained about how cold it was. And then we walk, and by walk, I mean he ran down the sidewalk to get to the pool. He was so excited. We got there at 9:30 a.m. There were two other people there, so we had the whole pool to ourselves. We went home around lunchtime, had some lunch, and of course, he said, "Mom, can we go back to the pool?" And I said, "Why not, right? It's the first day, let's go for a second time." So we went back at 12:30, there were more people there, but we still had a great time. And around 2 o'clock, we started making our way back home. Now, we don't live too far from the pool, but we're a couple blocks away. And don't you know that as soon as we turned onto our own street, like 10 houses away from our house, Lewis said, "Mom, I can't walk anymore." And so I said, "Okay, buddy, I'll pick you up." I picked him up to carry him. He's about 40 pounds now. And so we got closer and closer, and I thought, you know what? I really can't do it. I can't do it. And so I put him down. I said, "I'm sorry, buddy, but you're going to have to walk." And you know what he did? He immediately started crying. So I put my hand on his back and just kept ushering him as he was crying. "Just keep walking. Just keep walking." When he finally stopped, he said, "Mommy, why can't you hold me?" And I said, "Buddy, you're just too heavy for me right now." And without really even thinking about it, I got kind of deep with him, and I said, "You know what, Lewis? Sometimes you just have to say, that's too much for me." When I thought about this phrase, "do not grow weary," I thought, yeah, you know what? Most of the time, I don't start weary. I grow weary. And as I grow weary, and as you grow weary, weariness can be an indicator that it's time for a break or a boundary or a change, that it's time to say, that's too much for me. And I would say, I'm just going to take a guess here, that a lot of us are not good at that, that we're not good at saying, that's too much for me. Sometimes we perceive weariness as weakness or failure. But first and foremost, if you are weary in an area of your life where good is happening, that does not make you weak. Paul's vision in our text today is that we do good for our entire lives, that we see the long game. But how we do good is up to us to figure out. There are multiple avenues for good. And so if you're burnt out or find yourself at the end of your rope, the cure for your weariness may be a different job. It may be discerning a more life-giving routine for your day, or finding fresh perspective, or going home at 5 o'clock to be with your family, or researching a new hobby, or changing your volunteer efforts. It's okay to say, that's too much for me. As I continue to think about weariness and how hard it can be to overcome, I thought about the older adults in our church, the older adults in my own life, people who have been doing good for 70 and 80 and 90 years. How do you not give up? So I made a phone call to my aunt. She's my aunt by marriage. Her name is Missy Buchanan, and she's a writer for Upper Room. She writes about aging faithfully. And as a boomer herself, she presented to me some challenges of aging that she has witnessed or experienced. She said that today's older adults are living in what she calls a perfect storm. Bodies and minds are slowing down at the same time that the world is moving faster than it has ever moved. She said that those who are facing retirement or are in early retirement are asking, "Who am I and where do I belong? I've always been an executive, but who am I now? I've always been a nurse, but who am I now?" Roles are changing, identities are changing, and this can lead to an identity crisis. She said, sometimes we just hear from the world that you're old, you're obsolete, you're insignificant, and sometimes even our churches can make us feel that way. She said, there are days that we think, maybe if I can't do what I once did, I can't really do anything at all. As Missy and I continued this conversation, she told me a story about driving along the scenic coastal highway on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. She was driving along it shortly after Hurricane Katrina had devastated much of that coastline. And that coastline included these ancient oak trees that she said had been reduced to giant toothpicks. But as she traveled the coastal highway, she saw that the trees had become these beautifully carved seabirds and dolphins and eagles. She later learned that there was this artist from Florida named Marlon Miller who recognized that there was beauty and new life that could come out of these tree stumps that other people were about to bulldoze over. And she said that reminded her of some wisdom that she heard from Dr. Stan Goldberg. He said, you can't change a 3-foot oak log with bug rot into an immaculate piece of Honduran mahogany, nor can you make your life's limitations go away. But successful aging is similar to carving found wood. You cannot fight it. You have to learn to joyfully adapt. And so this phrase is what she has coined and carried to people, how to joyfully adapt. So if you are someone today who is thinking these messages, what I want to say to you is that we do not want to make you feel old or obsolete or insignificant in this church. You may be changing roles or searching for your place, but one identity in your life remains the same. You are a child of God. You are a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Do not grow weary. Do not give up. And really, no matter your age today, no matter your limitations, no matter what storm you are weathering or how hollow you may feel, God is not done with you yet. God is the sculptor who is carving and chipping and knows that there is beauty and new life on your horizon still. So how will we joyfully adapt so that we do not miss life? Almost 1 month ago now, our church lost one of our saints. Her name was Betty Willis, and she was 98 years old. She was instrumental at one point in her life at leading this church. She got our history down in writing, if you've seen that green book that was published in 2000. She was someone who embroidered Epiphany stars on the kneelers in front of us today. She was the president of the United Methodist Women. She led a group called the Joy Group, just older youth who took excursions and trips together. She visited our homebound friends. She communicated with our college students. I was told that people would fight over her delicious tea ring pastries. We had a service for Betty a couple of Fridays ago here at the church, but it wasn't until Sunday that we were able to perform her graveside service. So that Sunday after church, I drove out to Spring Hill. It was a beautiful day with a beautiful breeze, and her closest family members were there, her two daughters, Kathy and Susan, and her son, Don. And we stood there in this beautiful weather and read Psalm 23, and we watched as they threw dirt on her casket. And after it was completely filled, family members came up and they placed not just flowers, but items that Betty gave to them or things that reminded them of their life with Betty. And after that moment, her son, Don, looked at me and he said, I want to show you something. And he pointed to me all the family members that surrounded Betty there in the dirt. And then he pointed off into the distance and he said, our family has been buried here since the early 1800s. Then he pointed to this massive tree that was right behind Betty's grave. And he said, my family members planted that seed. And now we are reaping the benefits of what they have sown. We are standing under this tree that's offering us shade and refuge. This tree, symbolically, has been holding vigil for years and years with those who are rejoicing and mourning under its roots. This tree has been a constant, a companion, a stronghold that has endured for generations. So part of what I want to say to you today is that as a church, we are like that family. We are like that tree that has withstood the test of time. For 70 years, we have been planting and plowing and plucking, sowing seeds of the Spirit, watching bountiful harvest bloom, reaping the rewards of good and hard work. We have been a constant in this community, a stronghold that has endured for generations. And today, part of what we celebrate is you, the people who have been here for decades and decades, who have and still are holding this place up. Today, we rejoice in our harvest, but we also commit to the challenge to keep sowing and to keep growing and to not give up. Many people have come before us, and many people will come after us, but each person right now is stepping into the work of Bellmead UMC in its long season of life. What do we want our future generations to reap? Because of that, we cannot miss Paul's final word. He said, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Now, in my opinion, this is not a call for Christian exclusivism. It's not a reason to say that we are better or more important than anyone outside of our walls. This is a reminder to be good to the people in the pews. In July, I will have been here for 6 years. Some of you have been here for years and years and years. And naturally, as we stay together, we are going to make each other mad. We are going to upset one another. We are going to have differences. But like all good family members, we stick together and we work things out. We lean into love. We offer one another grace. We speak up to one another kindly in a healthy way, seeking to hear and see one another. So, church, let us not grow weary in doing good to each other so that we can do good together. Because together, we are aiming to do all the good we can as long as ever we can. Thanks be to God. Amen.